In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Brethren in Christ, the homilies of this month are dedicated to Saint John Chrysostom, whose memory we celebrate this coming Tuesday at Santa Sophia in a pan-Orthodox liturgy celebrated by the four deans of the different jurisdictions in the presence of our four Orthodox bishops, priests, deacons, and laity of Southern California, lectures dealing with the teaching of Saint John will be delivered in the afternoon. This year marks the 1600 years of John's repose, but his teaching, his fiery words, and his apostolic zeal made him the best orator in human history. During his lifetime, his congregation used to fill the church to listen to his articulate and persuasive sermons. In fact, he had to caution his listeners to look out for pickpockets who would sneak in such a large congregation. His congregation was so moved by his sermons that they would actually begin to applaud. By his extreme love to the office of preaching, he has surpassed all Christian preachers throughout history. Unlike contemporary preachers, John Chrysostom did not always flatter his parishioners or praise them excessively, especially from motives of self-interest. He was never hesitant to praise his congregation when they deserve the praise, but blame them when it is necessary. He chastised them for their sins, especially for talking too much in the church, not taking heed to the service and to his sermons. One evening, he was preaching on the story of creation. Soon it began to get dark, so as the acolyte began to light the candles, people turned their heads to watch what he's doing. So John forcefully said, "Pay attention and away with your triviality. I'm speaking to you of the Holy Scripture, and you turn your eyes away from me and look at the candles and at the one who is lighting them. I will kindle a fire, the fire that springs from the Bible, and your tongues will burn the light of divine teaching. And this light is more important and necessary." And contrary to postmodern preachers who try to shield lavish lifestyles, leaving their personal financial assets behind closed doors, John Chrysostom left his affluent and prosperous family and followed Christ. Considering priesthood as a divine calling, the words of his widowed mother did not impede him from fulfilling his priestly vocation. Taking him into the room, she begged him with tears not to forsake her, saying, "Do not plunge me into a second widowhood, nor revive the grief which is now laid to rest. Wait for my death. It may be in a little while that I shall depart." He did not wait for her death, but he entered a monastery south of Antioch to begin his priestly road. Although he ran away from the priesthood immediately before his ordination, the Holy Spirit led him later to be a priest and then Patriarch of Constantinople. He wrote his renowned book on the priesthood, where he proved the dignity of the priesthood and rebuked those who put down and criticized the priest. He says, "Do you not know what the priest is? He is an angel of the Lord. Are they his own words that he speaks? If you despise him, you do not despise him, but God who ordained him. If God does not work through him, then there is no baptism, nor communion in the mysteries, nor blessing, and you are no longer Christians. What then you say? Does God ordain all, even the unworthy? God does not ordain all, but he works through all, even if they themselves be unworthy, and so all that the people may be saved." And in order to call attention to this point, Chrysostom criticizes those who pass judgment on the priest, saying, "For if God spoke for the sake of the people by an ass, by a jackass, much more will be speaking by the mouth of the priest. What indeed will not God do or say for your salvation? By whom does he act?" In order to make his parishioners believe in the church and in the priesthood, he enticed them to practice virtues. He said, "Let us lay down a law for ourselves every day. Today, let us set this right. Again, in this month, let us school ourselves in forbearance, and in another month, in another virtue. And when we have got into the habit of this virtue, let us go to a different one. Just as in the things we learn at school, guarding what is already gained and acquiring others. And after this, let us proceed to contempt for riches, and let us give alms. And thus, let us go to some other virtue, and from that to another virtue." He rejoiced when his congregation was making progress spiritually. Seeing a proof of their progress in their faith in Christ and in his church, to him the hunger after spiritual nourishment and instruction is a certain proof of spiritual health, which is acquired by humbleness of mind, intense prayers and fasting, many tears, much almsgiving, remaining in close relationship with elders, standing forward in defense of those who are wronged, not retaining anger, and bearing all things meekly. John Chrysostom brought in such an abundance of spiritual and ascetic thoughts and images that shake our conscience. He said, "We have provoked God to wrath, because when enjoyments of heaven have been set before us, we are not willing to be separated from things on earth, but we are like worms. We turn about from the earth to the earth, and again from this to that. And in short, we are not willing to look up even for a little while or to withdraw ourselves from human affairs, as if drowned in indolence and sleep and drunkenness, we are stupefied with our imaginations. At that time in Antioch, there were Orthodox Christian families who were extremely wealthy and owned lands and splendid palaces. But at the same time, there were homeless people laying on mats in the great cold, tortured by hunger. One Sunday in winter, he went through downtown of Antioch to go to preach. Then he saw a number of poor people lying in the street. So he forgot the theme of his sermon and addressed his congregation saying, "I came to you as an ambassador. I am indeed sent by the poor of the city, not by decrees or speeches, but through the mere sight of their misery. A righteous poor man is indeed worth more than a ruined rich man." In another occasion he said, "It is foolishness and a public madness to fill our closets, our cupboards with clothing, and allow men created in God's image and likeness to stand naked and trembling with the cold. The wine does not exist in order that we may get drunk. The food is not given to us that we may overeat, nor that we may develop a great belly. If the beggar lies, he lies from necessity, because your hard-heartedness and merciless inhumanity force him to such cheating. If you give alms gladly and willingly, the poor would never fall to such depths." So the concern for the poor came from the heart of Saint John Chrysostom. And translating his words into action, he disposed of the income of the church to be used for charitable work. You see that John Chrysostom did not use his office to gratify his parishioners, or to overpraise them, or to soft soap them, but he occasionally scolded them for neglecting their own salvation and ignoring the poor. Brethren in Christ, these quotations from Saint John are cited today at the beginning of this Advent to remind us that if we have the right faith but do not at the same time lead an upright life, our faith will not avail us to salvation. His aim was not to whip or flog his own congregation, but to correct them and then rejoice in their spiritual growth. He says, "When I see your spiritual field stands blooming and the spiritual seed is sown in the furrows of your souls, then I rejoice and I'm glad." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.